James chapter 2. I know there is another Vision School, which is the organization that Anne belonged to, and we will get the dates to make the announcement. I know it's sometime in September. September 23. If you're interested, if God is calling you to become a missionary on a short term, which is a two-week time in the Muslim nations, you must attend that seminar that they have in order for you to qualify. Our series is still in our series in the book of James, which I entitled The Radical Change. James chapter 2, verse 1 to 13, we're going to be reading that. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name of which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law of transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is the word of the Lord. Let's say another word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the message that we're about to hear. We thank you for this building and this body of believers that you've chosen for us. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given to us. And now, Lord God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to open our hearts, your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to give us clarity, remove any and all distractions, any thoughts that's distracting us from truly listening and hearing you. Forgive us, Lord, for all of our sins. Let us not be prideful so that we will hear you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. The book of James, as I said time and time again, is a very practical book that addresses believers of Jesus Christ. It's for believers. It's not an evangelical book. It's a book for the Christian believer. A book of instructions. It's like the Proverbs of the New Testament. And we just read chapter 2. I told you last week, right? James is coming out with a bigger bat. It gets heavier as we go through it. Now, my brother-in-law, Ian, who is now in the Philippines, he's the youngest brother of my wife. He shared a story of the time when he was here, when he visited one of the mega churches here in town. Now, he was greatly surprised during his visit that this one particular person was so hospitable to him. You know, the lines of, hey, happy to see you, brother. I'm glad you're here. You know, with the Christian dab and then the shoulder. And then he was offered a drink. Do you want coffee, tea, water? And he's already sitting, they're already singing. He's like, wow, this is awesome. He's thinking, this is why this church is this fruitful, because of their hospitality. They're so warm. So they were singing and singing, and then the guy that was so hospitable to him started talking to somebody, and two people now are looking at my brother-in-law, and they're talking, they're singing, they're talking at him. And then all of a sudden, the guy came right before the praise and worship was over. He goes, wait a minute, you're not Francis Chan. If you don't know who Francis Chan is, then the joke just kind of... That guy thought my brother-in-law was Francis Chan. Little did he know it was just another ordinary Asian guy. Now, how's that happen to you? Have you been treated so well, extra special, because they thought you were somebody of great significance? You know, it must have been nice, right? Until they say, wait a minute, you're not Muhammad Ali, or he's dead now, but you're not Manny Pacquiao. Now, the question is not more so, have you been treated that way? But it's more of, do you give preferential treatment to those whom you think are of great importance? We just read the rich, the influential, the celebrities. Do you give them a much better treatment versus the poor, the nobodies? Now, we just read it, that we're not supposed to. The big idea is you're not supposed to. We can close in prayer if you want. But judging based on appearance, my dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? And he gives the example here. Now, I'm thinking, how was the audience of the letter responding to this? They were probably saying, in my imagination, surely not I. They were probably thinking about this guy. You know, our church doesn't do that. Our church, I believe, as the reports from the visitors that have been attending after their first visit, have said that the reception has been very warm. Although our security ministry, because of the threats that's been coming to many churches all over the country and even the world, we have had decided that if there is a new person that they seem, they're discerning, that could be a threat, we don't tell them to sit in the back or be their footstool. We tell them to bring them up front. Give them the special seats closer to the pastor. The blessed seats, which are two brave men are right now, right? So that's our protocol. But we're not trying to X anybody out because they're not dressed nice. Now, it's so difficult because people are programmed, we are programmed to judge by the appearance. You know that one study found that the male CEOs topped out an average height of 6 feet or taller. That is 2.5 inches taller than the average American, which is 5'9", I think. So if you're 6 feet and above, because of your appearance, you have a very good chance of becoming a CEO. As of last year, according to the Society of Human Resource Management, 86% of Fortune 500 CEOs were white men. Now, if you're tall but you're not white, you're gonna, you know. But my son Alonzo, who stands 6'3", he says, as I was telling him my material today, he goes, you know what, Dad? I do get preferential treatment. I just got a free drink at Starbucks yesterday. And I go, do you think you got it because you're tall or because you're brown? He said, no, I got it because I'm tall and handsome. We're still working on his humility, guys, but that's his thing today. The basketball world, the National Basketball Association, has one of the highest percentages of African-American players. So you have to pass the eye test there, and you also have to have the height. The height average there is 6'6". Now, I really don't get it why the Filipinos, one of the smallest people in the world ever, loves one of the tallest sports in the world ever. The love affair never matches. Now, if you don't pass the eye test, sometimes you are done for. Now, unfortunately, for certain things like basketball or other sports, you have to meet the physical needs, right? I mean, if I was a recruiter, I will have a hard time recruiting a 5 foot nothing player versus a 6 foot nine, looking like LeBron James at 15, right? So sometimes eye test has justification. For the business world, right? Not so much for the business world. The business world, I don't know why they're picking the taller people. Maybe because if you're taller, you're more prominent, more authority. I don't know why the white race, if you're white, you get the CEO dab right away. But it's just how the world functions. Now, the political views here could push for more minorities to get the job, right? But it's not fair that policy, because the Asian Americans, if you guys are acquainted with the news, right, they don't get in the Ivy schools because there's just so many of them already. Now, shouldn't it be because you qualify for the job, not because of your color, skin color? Shouldn't it be about your test results? If it's academic, shouldn't it be that? Yeah, I agree. Again, we can close in prayer with that message. But we're told to not judge based on appearance. See, the Bible is very practical. The Bible is so fair because God is fair. The Bible can be seen as a political book because it's so practical. The Bible is fair because God is fair. The Bible tells us to do the right thing, to not judge based on appearance. And what did James write here, God through James? That the evil motive is because there's someone that really needs your help. There's this someone that really needs your attention. But you ignore that someone based on their appearance. And then you give out everything to the one person that you think or you know that can benefit you in the future. Now again, Proverbs 16:2 reads, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. That's the next verse, Proverbs 16:2. We discussed this last week when the Apostle James wrote about the real religion that pleases the Lord is the one that visits or by taking care of the widows and the orphans. That group of people that cannot pay you in return, because God knows, He weighs the motives of our hearts. Now, during James's time, the rings, they were mentioned here, right? Nice clothes and gold rings. Did you know that during their time, you could rent? There were places that would rent out gold rings. And people would rent them so that they could at least show themselves as if they're someone of importance. That they are actually richer than they really are. Now, I don't think we can rent gold rings anymore, but we can rent luxury cars, right? I don't know. Wait, can you rent gold rings? Yeah. You can? Oh, my goodness. Right? But the whole point is people will pretend, and because there is response to it, people respond to the appearance. And as Christians, we're not supposed to function that way. Oh, this person looks, he drove in with a, give him the special place there. Let me talk to him extra. Offer him water. You know, I'm okay. I'm okay. If you want to treat somebody special, that's great. That's actually great. Just do it for everybody else. Don't just do it for that one person that you know you have a return of investment. The ROI, the business people know about ROIs, right? So when you're doing something because you're expecting something in return, is that pure? It's no longer pure. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. The Apostle James echoes God's will since the book of Proverbs were written. He just echoes it. Showing favoritism is an abomination to our Lord. I don't know about you, but if you're still living your Christian life for the applause of others, I hope you're hearing the message today. I don't know about you, but if you're still serving God so that you can get something in return from Him, I hope you're hearing the message that that's not the right thing. We are to serve God because that's what God wants. We are to serve God to other people, with other people, not because of the return that we can get from them, or the lack of, but we are to just serve because that's what God wants us to do. If you're praying to get something from God, that's what prayer is, right? We're asking for healing, for protection. But if we're only praying when we need something from God, then the relationship is still far from an intimate relationship. You're still treating God as a vending machine, an ATM. Only you don't have to make deposits. You just have to continue to make withdrawals. We have to treat everyone fairly. Now, like last week's message, you can pretend to do the right thing here, and you can even fool us, right? But at the end of the day, no one can fool God because He sees every motive, all the intentions about everything that you did or didn't do, everything you said and didn't say. And we are, as Christians, time and time again, we always have to say and remind ourselves, in everything that we do it unto the Lord. When you're working and your boss is not watching you, you are supposed to work as if God is watching you, because God really is watching you. If you are on Facebook or chatting with me because I'm asking for something. You know, this happened to John one time. I was texting him, and his teacher caught him. And the teacher, he's a professor, goes, John, stop texting. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, I'm texting my pastor. And they all laughed. And he just texted me. They think I'm lying. But when whatever you do, Colossians 3:23, and whatever that you do, you do it unto the Lord. So we are accountable to Him. Again, Christianity is a personal relationship. He is the one that we are to become mindful of more than anything else. Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom He promised to those who love Him? But you dishonor the poor. We dishonor the poor when we think as if they are just dirt. And we're forgetting that God, remember what God said in the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who are poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Because the poor is usually the one being oppressed, taken advantage of. And if you have been in the receiving end of that, you know how displeasing that is. But if you are the rich guy that takes advantage of the poor people, like the ones that don't have papers, right? And they're looking for a job. They're trying to find a means to, you know, like money so that they can buy food. And you hired them. And you know that this kind of labor will cost you about $2,000 if it was a licensed contractor. But because they don't have papers and they gave you a deal because, you know, they're not going to pay taxes. And then you said, how about I give you $500? That's like more than half, right? And then they say, you know what? Just give me at least half of what you would pay. You say, $1,000, sure, we got a deal. And then later on, when it's time to pay, because you know you got the advantage, and you said, you know what, dude, here's $500. Go or better, or I'm going to call the INS. IR, yeah, whatever, INS. Right? The rich people usually do that. I'm not saying you do it, but usually it happens in a different form. Oh, because you know that a certain person is in a lower status of your ism, right? The ism is like a belief because they're the lower race. You don't think they, you know, I've experienced racism. I'm pretty sure some of you guys, if you haven't, your number will be due anytime soon. But in this country actually did not make the top 10 of the most most racist country. The Philippines, however, was number 6. I thought it was number 1. I really thought it was number 1. I saw the video. I thought we made number 1. I'm like, finally we made number 1 somewhere. No, I'm kidding. But it's number 6. Bahrain is the number 1. But United States is actually not there. But it's so increased here. The volume of racism is so increased here. But actually, this country is working so hard. We're working so hard to make it not so. And I believe because there is that element of Christianity in there. Now, this is not a Christian country by any means, right? It is not. It was established by the forefathers that had Christianity in their hearts, but it's no longer a Christian country. But whatever happens in the business world and whatever happens in the sporting world, in the church world, the Bible tells us that we cannot give preferential treatment to the people that we think are of use to us, and treat the ones that we have no use for or the poor people with less care. To not judge based on appearance and social status is God's command. Now, it should be said that there are evil rich people. Amen? The rich are saying, I don't know. There are evil rich people, but there are righteous rich people. There are evil poor people, and there are righteous poor people. Same with the middle class. So it has nothing to do really with your social status. It has everything to do with your heart and your intention behind it. Again, James, so practical. Don't judge based on appearance. Tend to those who are in need of your help, even if they cannot pay you in return, especially if they cannot pay in return. Because that's no longer helping. That's a business transaction. Do you agree? My clients that come to me to buy houses or sell their house, that's a business transaction. Because I get paid a commission when I sell their home or when I find them a house. That's a business transaction. That's not me helping them. That's me doing my job, my business. But if someone comes to me and asks for help, and I'm thinking like, I don't know, man, this guy will not pay me back. What am I supposed to, what is the Bible telling me? I'm supposed to help. And here at church, when they come dressed as if they're homeless people, we are to welcome them because they too need to hear the word of God. Amen? And everybody here, you are to be welcoming of them. Amen? And I know you are. And you know, if you're thinking about rich, I'm not rich. Yes, you are. If you belong, if you live in this country, you are richer about 88% of the world. If you have a car, oh my goodness. I have friends in the Philippines who are working their tail off to even get a car. They're 45 and they're still living with their parents there and their cousins and aunties and cousins and so on and so forth. We live in a rich country and we are given that. So we are all blessed. Now, about judging based on appearance, remember when Samuel was looking for the next king of Israel and he saw Eliab? And man, he said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, before you say, wow, that's totally unfair, I would say this is perfect. Because let me ask you, what does a rapist look like? What does a murderer look like? What does a bank robber look like? Or a thief look like? Now, the Hollywood has told us how they look like, right? How does a rapist look like? Guy with the beard, full beard. Yeah, doesn't cover it right now. And then scruffy. I'm using that while you're here. Messed up hair, tattoos all the way to their neck, right? That's usually the bad guy characterized by Hollywood. And they speak rough. But is that really the case all the time? No. There was this one guy, looked very handsome. Look very respectable, very trustworthy with glasses, right? Very clean-cut guy. And everybody fell for him. And he was a serial killer. The Lord warns us that we are not to judge based on the appearance because we're quick to make the mistake. Now, sadly, again, the Philippines ranked number 6 in racism. Sadly, we all have a hint of racism in us. And that's hard to admit, right? I know between us, we laugh at it. But it's quite the pill to drink or to swallow. Because why? Why, for some reason, we think that because of a person's color of his skin, or her skin, that they're automatically somebody you cannot trust. And why? Because of the opposite. Their color is somebody that we can trust. And we trust everything that comes out of their mouth. Right? A white guy comes in a Filipino household. Guess what all the Filipinos are doing? Oh, he knows everything. He's so good. He's so smart. Oh, he's so nice. He's the nicest guy ever. A black guy comes in the Filipino household. What does everybody say? Watch your purse. Put it away. Put it away. He's here. Not everybody. Now, if that's you, let this be your pill to clear that. It's not the right thing, right? Now, there are many intelligent white guys that I love. I have a lot of books of them. Their book, I'm listening, I'm reading. But there are a lot of intelligent black guys. They're just not good for basketball. Because it's a reverse racism. When we play basketball, and I first played basketball at Arlington Park, I saw the first black guy, I'm already thinking, this guy's got to be really good. And then, no, he wasn't. He was like Stanley from The Office. It's crazy. We're so quick to make judgments based on what we see. And as a church, simple enough, right? We're not supposed to. Simple, but it's hard. Because it's a heart issue. Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. Now, we all are okay to love our neighbors so long as we pick the neighborhood. If you get to live in Calling Ranch, it'll be easy to love all your neighbors at Calling Ranch. Maybe. I don't live there. But did God say, love your neighbor, the neighbors that you choose? Remember when they challenged God, they challenged Jesus. They said, then who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered them with this parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan's parable is what we need to remember all the time. When we're being charged, when the Holy Spirit is telling us, love your neighbor as yourself, the Good Samaritan is the standard. What is the Good Samaritan? The enemy was hurt. The Samaritan is the enemy of the Jew. The Jew was mugged, hurt badly. The Samaritan picked him up, put him in his donkey, brought him to a motel, got him healed, paid for it, and paid extra and left. Love your neighbor. And Christians, you're going to say, right, wait, there's a command for me? I thought I was saved by grace. There's law for me? Paul says we are no longer under the law. But there is that royal law. Remember? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, to be oversimplistic, if it's God's command, that should be enough, right? Since it's God's command to love our neighbors, since it's God's command to not show favoritism, since it's God's command to be there for the poor, that should be enough. But yes, I get it. That's oversimplistic. But what else are you supposed to make sense of it? How else are you supposed to make sense of it? As a Christian, if the royal law, the first and greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, that's the ultimate, that's the first one, then everything else should follow. We're saved by grace, not by works. But because we are saved, God has good works planned ahead for us. And that one thing there is that as a church, as Christians, especially, I shouldn't say especially, but when it's here in the scriptures, based on what James has written down, we are to exercise no partiality. We are to not favor anyone else above someone else. We are supposed to be the people of God. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think on how else we can make this quite practical, but it already is. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when He judges you. God sees everything. He knows if there was one time that you were have shown no mercy to that one person that was begging you. Remember that the parable of the unmerciful servant? He owed so much debt to his master. And he asked, when he was being called to pay his debt, he said, "Lord, show me mercy. Give me mercy." And the master forgave. Somebody's phone is ringing, I think. Or am I just hearing things? Where was I? He said, "Forgive me. Give me mercy." And the master was very merciful. It was to the tune of millions of dollars, right? And then when he walked away, and then he saw his fellow servant that owed him, let's just say, $500. And this co-servant of his says, "Forgive me, give me mercy, give me time." He choked him, and he asked for that person to be thrown in jail. Sometimes, Christians, we forget. I said it earlier, that the hardest lessons that we to learn are the things that we think we already know. There are times that we think we have changed. We think, "Oh, you know what? I've changed. It's 2023. I accepted Christ in 2001. I'm good now. I've been attending church consistently this year. I've been reading my Bible consistently every day. My prayer time has been on point. I have changed." And because we've justified our unmerciful ways, that we haven't still been, we forget, we've overlooked the fact that there is this one person asking for our forgiveness, and we have still been holding on. We're still bitter. Or there are certain groups of people, a certain race that we got hurt by from, right? Or our loved ones were hurt by a certain, that same race, and we automatically just judge everybody else. "Oh, you know, because they hurt my daughter." My daughter, I think it was last year, she was a victim of racism and railies, you know? Because she went there, she goes there to buy their sushi. You know, she's a student, she loves it. She comes out and guy says, "Did you pay for that?" My daughter was so shocked. She goes, "Yes, I did. Did you want to see the receipt?" Like, she was like, still being courteous. But the guy didn't even work there. And my daughter was with her other friends who also had sushi in their hands, but they weren't asked. Because my daughter is, you know, the brown Filipina that she is. She was victimized. I was told many times to go home. I'm already home, I think. You know, I've been here since 93, but I'm still being told to go home. But they never give me the money to go home, you know. I'm like, "I'll go home. It costs money, you know. You got to give it to me. I'll go home." It does happen, right? But, you know, this country... Again, if you look it up, and the website is the worldpopulation.org. United States of America is not in the top 10. Sometimes your number will be called because there are some ignorant people out there. And you know what? If you're going to be honest, you also have your own racist heart. You just don't say it loud or as loud. You just don't act on it. But you whisper it to your family You say it in a joke. The saddest thing? Christians. Christians, believers, my loved ones, our church is God's church. Amen? This church was planted as a Filipino church here in the Reno Sparks area for all the unchurched Filipinos in town many years ago. 17 years to be exact. But as time progressed, the church has evolved in with many other ethnicities, which is rightfully so. If you're a Christian and you're a racist guy, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. Imagine the differences of people there. Christians, we are told to not show favoritism. Our church is God's church. In this church, our goal is to know Christ, to become like Him, to make Him known. Our church is, if God has called you to become part of this church, you've been visiting us, become part of it. Because we want to grow with you as you grow with us. But mind you, this church is not a country club. It's not a country club. It's a church for people who needs Jesus. It's a church who loves Jesus and continues to learn about Jesus. It's a church that where we share the love of Jesus. Amen? Again, I'm proud to share that several people that have visited us for quite some time with different ethnicities have expressed to me that they want to become a part of this church because they said that they felt the warm welcome from the members of this church. So praise God for you. I praise God that we are constantly still doing what God has called us to do. And again, if the pill was hard to swallow, it's good for you. We all need it, and it will help us heal our souls. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. As the music team make their way up here, and if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you still are condemned by your sins against Him and the sins that you've committed against people. But there is that gift for you. Jesus dying on the cross for your sins many years ago was done because He loves you. If you'd like to receive that gift, your sins yesterday, your sins today, and your sins tomorrow is paid for. For John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I hope that you will accept. If the Holy Spirit is touching you and saying, "This is the time," don't wait. God is never late, and God is never too early. Please come up so we can share that gospel to you and lead you into that prayer. Or if you've been visiting us for quite some time and God has impressed it in your heart to become part of this church, the only thing that we require from you is that you are a Christian. And if you are, please come up so we can recognize you. Or if you're hurting and there's some struggle in your life, please come up so we can lead you into that prayer. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your message. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the practicality of Your word for us. We thank You for Your people that You're adding to this church. We thank You for everything that You've done. And we ask for Your guidance and Your blessings. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all rise for the closing song.